Today, Shir is a Masechta Yevamos on Daf Samach Vav. We will begin with the new Perek and Mishnah, Almana L'Kohen Gadol. Let us begin with a short Hagdama. The Torah tells us in Vayikra Perek Chav Beis Pasuk Yud Aleph, V'Kohen Ki Yikna Nefesh Kinyan Kaspoi Hu Yoichal Boi, that if a Kohen acquires possessions through Kesev, the possessions are able to eat truma. And this includes if he marries a wife or if he purchases avadim knanim, or as we will see in the Torah's Kayanim and the Toisus Yishonim on Samach Vav Amid Beis, that a behema is considered kinyan kaspoy as well, and the behema can be fed truma. The Kohen himself, of course, eats the truma and his possessions as well. Our Mishnah discusses his wife's avodim knanim, whether they are able to eat truma as well. Let us begin the Mishnah. Almana l'kohen gadol. The Mishnah starts out with listing forbidden marriages, whether the wife's avodim can eat truma, and then the Mishnah will go over to permitted marriages. So almana l'kohen gadol, which is a chai v'lavin, but kedushin are taifsin b'chai v'lavin, as we've had earlier in the Masechta. So the marriage is considered a marriage. The wife becomes a chalala, the almana becomes a chalala. She is forbidden to eat truma. And the question is, the avadim knanim that she is bringing into the marriage, whether they can eat truma. Or grusha v'chalutza l'koyin hejit, a grusha that is osur min haTorah to marry the koyin hejit. Or a chalutza, as we learned on Daf Chav Dalet, that is osur mid rabbonin to marry the koyin hejit. And again, she will be prohibited to eat truma. What about her avodim? Says the Mishnah, Hechnisa loy avde melug, the avde tzoin barzel. If she brings into the marriage avde melug, or she brings in avde tzoin barzel, and the Mishnah then will say what the halacha is. But let us first define what are avde melug and what are avde tzoin barzel. Let us learn together the first Rashi in the Perek, who explains this clearly. Begins Rashi, Masha Isha Machneses Labaila, Vishomoloi, Lakabmolov Bachrais Subosa, Kemoisha Koisvin, Vidon the Dunya Danalis Lay. So Rashi explains, he starts out with the Nichse Tsoin Barzel, and he says that these are evaluated, how much they're worth, and we're going to have in the Gemara the word Shum, and that's going to be a word that means nichsei tzoin barzel. So when they are evaluated and they're put into the ksuba, that the husband accepts achrayus that he has to give at the end of the marriage, either when the husband passes away or if he divorces his wife, she receives back the nichsei tzoin barzel exactly with the same value that she gave to her husband when she brought it into the marriage, and it was written in the ksuba. And then Rashi continues, V'hu moisef kenegdon. He gives presents to his wife, and he adds to the nichsei tzoin barzel that she is bringing into the marriage, V'koisef sach hakol kibul olav ploini kach v'kach v'ksubasa, and that is koirin tzoin barzel. The Rashi in Bava Metzia Daf Samach Tes Amud Beis explains, it's barzel because it's ironclad. In other words, she is going to receive, she has a commitment from him. He accepted responsibility to give back to her 100% value that she brought in to the marriage on these nechasim. And it's referred to as the iron sheep because that was the minig of shepherds in those days, that when they would receive the sheep from the owners, they would make a commitment to give back the value of the sheep, and if there was any depreciation in the sheep, they would give back the original value of the sheep, and that's why these nechasim became known as nichsei tzoin barzel. So any profit or any depreciation will go to the husband, but the actual value will go back to the wife. V'yei shemachneses momen harbe. And Rashi continues, there are some women who bring in a lot of money. V'eina kesevis kula b'ksubasa. U'mishayeres la'atzma. She doesn't write this into the ksuba. They're not bound by the achrayas of nechse tzoyim barzel. This remains for her. And what are they? They are hein nechse meluk. They're called Nichse Milug. The Rav, Rav Avadja Mibar Tanur, explains that Nichse Milug means like a bird that the feathers are plucked. In other words, the main Nechasim, the Karen, belongs to the wife. And here, if it appreciates, she gets the appreciation. If it depreciates, she suffers the loss. And he, so to speak, the husband, plucks the feathers. He eats the peiros. This is the arrangement for these nechasim. V'abal oichel peiros. The Rambam in Hilchas Avadim Perek Tes Halacha Zayin tells us that he's only allowed to eat the peiros if he gives mizonos, if he provides sustenance for the avadim. Because otherwise the avadim can get weak, they can run away from a lack of not having food. And therefore, the only way that he can eat the peiros is if he at least commits himself, not achrayus to the value of the avodim, but a responsibility to at least feed the avodim. Continues Rashi, v'akeren shalah kayim, the keren belongs to her, v'meisu meisu la, oy pichsu pichsu la. So in other words, if the avodim die or they become less valuable, she suffers the loss. If they appreciate in value, she gains the appreciation. And Rashi says, Lashon Tzoyim Barzel, Karen Kaim She'ein Parchas V'Nifsad. There's no loss. Shafilu Mesu Kulan Achriyasana Lov L'Shalom Lo Kishayomis Oygarshen. When he dies or when they get divorced, she receives back exactly what she put in. Now that we have the definition of Avdei Melug and Avdei Tzoyim Barzel, let us continue with the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, if the Almona to the Kohen Goel or the Gerusha V'Chalitz to the Kohen Hedget brought into the marriage, either Nichsei Avdei Melug or Avdei Tzoyim Barzel, the halacha is as follows. Avdei Melug loy yoichlu b'truma. The Avdei Melug do not eat truma, because since the Karen of the Eved belongs to the Isha, as we have explained in the case of Nichsei Melug, and since the Isha herself does not eat, she's a Chalola, Memela, if she doesn't eat, she's not Machel. The Koyin who eats, he's Machel to his possessions as well. The Isha, if she would eat, she could be Machel to her possessions. But if she doesn't eat, then she can't be Machel either. However, Avdei Tzoyim Barzel, Yoichlu, they can eat. Because as we explained in the case of Avdei Tzoyim Barzel, since he's Mekabel Achrayus, that he's going to pay back to his wife the Karen by accepting that responsibility on himself, whether there's an oinus that happens, doesn't matter, he's going to pay it back. It's considered as if it is his avadim in this case, and therefore, since he eats, therefore yoichlu, therefore the avadim will eat as well. Ve'elu hein avdei melug. And this is the case of Avdei Melug. In Mesu La, if they die, or the Rif speaks out, if they depreciate in value, even if they don't die, the Avadim, she suffers the loss. The Im Hoysiru, Hoysiru La. And if they appreciate in value, then she receives the appreciation in value, as we have explained before. And the Mishnah continues, Afal Pisha Hu Chayv Mizoynoi Son. Even though the Baal, as we said over from the Rambam and Hilchas Avadim, the Baal is mechuyev to give them mezoinos, but that's not enough for them to eat truma. Because the Karen, in the case of Nichsei Melug, belongs to the wife. So hare elu lo yoichlu b'truma, in the case of Avdei Melug, they do not eat truma. Continues the Mishnah. Ve'elu hein Avdei Tzoyim Barzel, and this is the case of Avdei Tzoyim Barzel, im meisu meisu loy. He accepts achrayus to pay her back whatever the value was when she brought the avodim into the marriage. So if they die, or the Rashba speaks out, if they get lost or stolen, or any oinus happens to them, it doesn't matter. He suffers the loss. He has to replace the exact value to his wife. Vim hoisiru. However, if they appreciate in value, they get more valuable hoisiru loy. He gets the profits. And therefore, continues the Mishnah, hoyol v'hu chai brachriyosan, since he's mechuyev in the achrayas to pay back to his wife exactly what they were worth, harei elu yoichlu b'truma, that chiyuv achrayas that he was mekabel upon himself makes the avarim to be considered as if they belong to him, and therefore they will eat truma. So until now, the Mishnah was speaking about a forbidden marriage. What about a permitted marriage? Bas Yisrael shenisas l'kayin. A Bas Yisrael who married a kayin. She herself, before she married the kayin, was not able to eat truma. Now, when she marries the kayin, she is able to eat truma. And here the halach is not only a Yisrael, but a Levi is considered a czar. And therefore, he also, a Bas Levi, would have the same halacha shenisas l'kayin. Vehichniso loy avadim. She brought avadim in. Bein avdi meluk, bein avdi tzoyim barzel. Whether the avadim are avdi meluk or avdi tzoyim barzel, harei elu yoichlu betruma. In this case, both the nichse meluk, the avdi meluk, and the avdi tzoyim barzel will eat truma. Because the avdi meluk are considered her avadim. So since she can eat, she married a kohen, she's not a chalol in this case, like the reish of the Mishnah. So since she can eat, she can be machal. And the pasuk, in fact, in Parshas Korach, Perek Yud Ches, pasuk Yud Aleph, tells us, "Kol Tor beveisecha yoichel oisai." She has her own schus, and we'll see more about this in the Gemara. That she's being married to a kohen, she is able to eat truma. And if she is able to eat truma, just like her husband's possessions can eat truma as well, so her possessions can eat as well. So if it's avde malog, they can eat in her schus, and if they're Avdei Tzoyin Barzel, then they belong, as we explained before, to the husband because he was Mekabel Achrayis on them. And since the husband, the Kohen can eat, therefore the Avadim, her Avadim, Avdei Tzoyin Barzel can eat as well. Hare Elu, Yoichlu Betruma. What about Bas Kohen Shenisas Li Yisrael? A Bas Kohen who was married to Yisrael, so when she was single in her father's house, she ate Truma de Beinacha, as it's called. And now that she got married to Yisrael, she cannot eat truma. Vehechniso loy avadim. She brought avadim into the marriage. Bein avdei meluk, bein avdei tzoyim barzel. Hareelu loy yoichlu betruma. In this case, in both cases, avdei meluk and avdei tzoyim barzel, they will not eat truma because avdei meluk are considered her avadim since she can't eat because she's now married to a Yisrael. Therefore, her avadim can't eat as well. Avdei Tzoyin Barzel are considered his avadim, since he can't eat, so therefore his avadim cannot eat as well. Ask the Gemara, v'avdei melug lo yoichlu b'truma. Are you telling me that in the ratio of the Mishnah, by Amon Elokon Gol, if she brings in avdei melug, they would not eat truma? Amai, why don't they eat truma? Leheve kikinyon noishekono kinyin. Let them remain like a kinyan of the kohen, a possession of the kohen, who acquired a possession. And as Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman Hashem Yimkom Domoy explains in Korbetz Or Simen Mem Zayin Sif Katan Vov, based on the second Tosfos on our Amud Menayin LeKohen, because Tosfos asks a question on the Gemara. The Gemara here, when it's bringing in this new concept, which we're going to discuss, of kinyon neshekana kinyon, the Gemara says, desanya. We learned in a brisa, how do we know there's such an ability of a kinyon's kinyon that can eat truma? So the Gemara brings a brisa, asks Tosfos, what do you have to bring a brisa? Learn it right in our Mishnah. The Mishnah said, bas Yisrael shenisas l'kayin, and she brought in avadim, even if they're avdei malog, they eat truma. This is a classic case of a kinyan, the Bas Yisrael, who acquired avadim. So it's a kinyan's kinyan. Why doesn't the Gemara ask for my Mishnah? Because the Mishnah says, yoichlu, they can eat truma. What are we going to a brisa? So Tosfos answers that since, as we explained, we see in Parshas Korach for the pasuk Kol Tor Beveisecha Yoichel Oisai, that pasuk would indicate that she, so to speak, has her own schus why she can eat truma. She's a tor in the bias of the kayin. She not the pasuk there does not go into the inyan of kinyanim that she is nikna to her husband. Rather, she's a tor beveisecha Yoichel Oisai, and if she can eat. Just like her husband, if he can eat, he can be machal. If she can eat, she can be machal. So from the Mishnah, we wouldn't have a proof to this concept of a kinyan's kinyan. Because here, the reason the wife is machal d'avadim is because she has her own schus of the pasuk kol Torah b'veischa yoichel oisai. So we're not asking from the Mishnah, says Tais, we're asking only from a Braisa. In the Braisa, we're going to see it speaking about a case where the schus is because of the Kenyan's Kenyan. So what the Gemara, the way Rabbi Chanan Wasserman explains it, means to ask, is why do you say that in the case of Amana L'Kayin Gadol, or Grusha Chalutz L'Kayin Hedget, since she's a halal and she can't eat, therefore she can't be Michael, that would make sense if we are approaching it because of her schusim, because of Kol Tor B'Veisecha Yoichel Oisai. So we can say, since she's a halala and she is not included in Kol Tor B'Veisecha Yoichel Oisai, so therefore she has no schus either to have her Avdei Melug eat the truma. But if we have a concept, ask the Gemara, of a Kayin's Kinyan's Kinyan, so then the Gemara thought that even if the Kinyan can't eat, but since this is a Kinyan's Kinyan of the Kayin, and the Kayin could eat, so therefore let the Kinyan's Kinyan eat because of the Kayin. Since, as we explained, we're not asking from the Mishnah, we're asking from a Braisa, which will bring us the new concept of a Kayin's Kinyan's Kinyan. So then the Gemara thought, we won't need that the wife is eating. Even by an Amana L'Kayin Gadol, Grusha Chalutz L'Kayin Hedget, they are a halal and they can't eat, but that should not stop their kinyan from being considered the kayan's kinyan itself. If the kayan has a kinyan, and that kinyan has a kinyan, the second kinyan is considered a kinyan of the kayan, or the Kayin Gadol, and therefore in the schus of the Kayin Gadol, or the schus of the kayan, Hedget, the Kenyan's Kenyan should eat. And then it wouldn't make a difference if the first Kenyan can't eat. That is the Gemara's Kasha. Let's go back to the Gemara. Even if the woman can't eat in her own right, but let the Avadim of his wife eat in his chus. Like the Kenyan of the Kayin or the Kayin Gadol, Shekana Kenyan, and therefore they should still be able to eat. This Sanya, where do we find this concept? We learned in a brisa, minayin l'kayin shenasa isha. Where do we know that a kayin who married a woman? First, we're going to establish the whole concept that a kayin's kinyan can eat truma. And as Tosfos points out in Divrei Amaschil, l'kayin shenasa isha huwa din she'iras. Midaraisa, even if he didn't get married to her, even erusin, she would already be allowed to eat truma. It's only Exerid Rabbanon. The Rabbanon did not allow an Arusa, who wasn't yet living with her husband, to eat truma. But Midaraisa, she could. How do we know if a Kayin Midaraisa, who married a woman or was Maharis a woman, Vikana Avadim, as Rashi says, Oikana Avadim, or a separate case, if a Kayin purchased Avadim, Sheyachlu Betruma, that his possessions can now eat truma, shenemar, because the pasuk says, the kayin ki yikne nefesh kinyan kasboi hu yoichel boi. The pasuk that we brought at the beginning of this year from Vayikra Chav Beis pasuk Yud Aleph, that if a kayin purchases a nefesh, which is kinyan kasboi, so that kinyan kasboi, that which he purchased through kesef, or we find Rashi Ksuba says, iskesh havayis ladadi, even if the kinyan was through shtar, through other means of acquiring possessions, all those possessions can eat truma. And now we go a step further. Uminayin leisha shekan savadim. How do we know a woman who purchased slaves or vavadav, or his slaves shekanu avadim, that they in turn purchased other avadim sheyoichlu betruma, that they likewise, the kinyan of a kinyan, could eat truma? Shenemar, because the pasuk says, And as Rashi explains, the words kinyan kaspoy are superfluous. It could have said, v'koyin ki yikna nefesh hu yoichelboy. Obviously, the yikna nefesh is kinyan kaspoy. Why did the Torah have to add that? And therefore, we changed the words around to give us a new drush. And we learned the words, v'koyin ki yikna kinyan kaspoy nefesh. We invert the seder of the words in the pasuk. And if a koyin's kinyan kaspoy will be koyin nefesh. So we learn now, kinyan leishakon a kinyan oichel, that a kinyan, which in turn acquired another kinyan, that's considered a kinyan of the koyin, and therefore that kinyan's kinyan can eat, and the Gemara and the Havamina thought it will not be necessary for the kinyan to eat in order to be able to, for the kinyan's kinyan to eat. There is here a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos exactly what the case is of avodim shekana avodim, because Rashi asks the question of him toimer ma shekana eved kana rabbi. How is it possible for an eved to acquire an eved, and it's considered a kinyan's kinyan? Everything that a eved acquires belongs immediately to his master. It's the master's direct kinyan. It's not a kinyan's kinyan. And Tosfos answers is speaking about a case when somebody gave to the Eved Kanani money, Amenashein l'Rabbi Rishusboy, that your Rebbe has no, your master has no permission to, has no rights in this money, and therefore the Koyin, the Eved, when he went out and bought an other Eved, that is considered the Eved's Eved. That's what the case is speaking about. And the Tosfos in Divrei HaMaskil, Va'avodim Shekana Avodim, explains, it's speaking about where the owner freed the Eved, he made him Hefker, so that there he has no more monetary rights in the Eved. However, he still needs a Get Shichur. The Eved still needs a Get Shichur. So Legabi Dine Isser, he is still considered the master's Eved, and therefore he can still eat Truma. And now, monetarily, it is possible for the Eved to acquire another Eved, because he monetarily he's free, and therefore he's a free man to purchase another Eved. That is the case according to Tosfos. But here we are at a question. The Gemara is asking, why can the Almana Lekangola Grusha Chalus Lekan Hedged, when she brings the Nichsei Melub, even though she's a Halol and she cannot eat, why can her Avadim not eat because of the concept of a Kenyan of a Koyan, which is that they are allowed to eat? Answers the Gemara that even if we go with the approach of a Kenyan's Kenyan, it's still necessary for the Kenyan alone to be able to eat. We say midaraisa, the halach is kol ha'oichel machel, kol she'en ha'oichel ein ha'machel, that if the Kenyan can eat, then there's a schus in the Kenyan to give to the to his Kenyan. But if the Kenyan himself can't eat, then he's not able to give over the permission of eating to the Kenyan's Kenyan. So it makes no difference whether we're going to approach the Avdei Melug because of the wife's permission to eat, which in the case of Almana L'Kohen Gadol does not apply because she's a Chalola. And even if we go because of the concept of a Kenyan's Kenyan, the Gemara is saying now, the Kenyan has to be able to eat in order to be Machal to the Kenyan's Kenyan. That's not possible over here because the Kenyan, which is the woman, is not able to eat. She's a Halala, and therefore her Avadim cannot eat as well. Ask the Gemara, is this a rule that Kol Ha'oichel Machal and Kol She'en Ha'oichel Ein Ha'machal V'loi V'arei Oral V'chol HaTameim? We're going to learn in the next parak Oral that someone who has no bris milah, or chol atmeim, the ones who are tamei, she'ein an oichlin, they cannot eat, but umachilin, but they can give a kohen who's an oral, even though he can't eat, but he's able to give to his avadim to eat. So we see someone who's not able to eat, he can still be machil to his avadim. The Gemara answers, hosam pumayu koev lehu. The Gemara is giving a mashal that the mouth of the Kohen Gadol hurts him. What the Gemara means to say is that it's a temporary problem over here, which will eventually be able to be fixed. The Arul will receive a bris milah. The Tame will become Tor. So that's why, even though right now the Kohen is not able to eat, but it's only a temporary problem, and therefore he is considered an Oichol, and therefore he could be Machel. We're speaking about where it's a permanent thing. A woman who becomes a Chalola, an Almana L'Kohen Gadol, Grusha Chalitza L'Kohen Hedged, she can never eat the Truma forever, and therefore she cannot be Machel her Avdei Malov. For Edi Gemara, it's still I have a problem. Vare Mamzer. A mamzer, she'ein oichel u'machel, he cannot eat, and yet he's able to feed. What's the case? Says Rashi, it's speaking about a bas Yisrael who married a kohen, and she had a daughter. And then the daughter married a mamzer, and they had a child, and that child is now a mamzer, and then the daughter of the kohen, the wife of the mamzer, died, so we have left the grandmother and her grandson, who is a mamzer. So the din is that the aim imoy, the mamzer's mother's mother, the wife of the kohen, even if her husband died, and she's a bas Yisrael, so she can't get the trum anymore in the schus of her husband, but she is able to get it in the schus of her grandson, because as long as there is zera to the kohen, and the mamzer is considered as being a zera to the kohen, she, the grandmother, is able to eat. So the mamzer himself can't eat because he's a zar. So Rashi says, who had the Gemara could have spoken about a case without a mamzer, just by Yisrael kosher. The Yisrael, if he was a son of a Yisrael kosher, in other words, the Bas Koyen married a Yisrael kosher, so the child is a Yisrael, the child can, he himself can't eat, but he's considered a Yisrael, but yet he's Michael, because his grandmother, because it's still considered a Zera to the Koyen. So really we could have said that case as well, except the Mishnah over there was speaking specifically about the case of a mamzer. But the same halacha would have been if the Bas Kohen would have married a Yisrael kosher. So anyway, but getting back to the Gemara, we have a case here where the grandson, the mamzer, is machel his grandmother truma, even though he himself cannot eat. So you see your rule of kol oichel machel, kol she'ein oichel ein machel does not hold out. So the Gemara answers, Amar Ravina, kinyan oichel kamer. We're not talking about any case. You're right, there are cases where someone who's not an oichel himself, he could still be machel, like the case of a mamzer to his grandmother who had been married to the kohen. But we're speaking about when the kohen is koine something. There the halacha is that a kinyan oichel machel, shein oichel ain't a machel. A possession can only be machel if that possession can eat. And since in the case of Almana L'Kohen Gadol, Grusha Chalitza L'Kohen Hedged, the kinyan cannot eat, if the kinyan cannot eat, then the kinyan has no way to be machel to the kinyan's kinyan. So according to this teretz of the Gemara, it's a din d'oraisa that a kinyan has to be able to eat, and that's why by Nichsei Melug, by Avdei Melug, the Avarim of the Almana L'Kohen Gadol, Grusha Chalitza L'Kohen Hedged, cannot eat mid-oraisa. However, now we're going to have two truths in the Gemara, which are going to say that mid-oraisa, a kinyan's kinyan, can eat, even if the kinyan cannot eat, mid-oraisa. Not like we just learned in the first teretz. But the reason the Avdei Melug cannot eat is mid-rabbanan. V'rav Amar, mid-oraisa, michla achle, they could eat. But v'rabbanan hu d'gazri behu, it's a din d'rabbanan. What's the reason? Kedesha toimar, she should say, ani eini oichalas. I am an Almana L'Kohen Gadol, I'm a chalola, I can't eat. Avdi ein an oichlen. And now d'rabbanan tell me that my avodim can't eat either. Zoyne hi etzloi. What is my marriage to this Kohen Gadol? One of a zoyne? Am I a zoyne to him? In other words, this is going to cause shalom bias issues. She's going to say, I want out of this marriage. Who needs it? I'm not getting any of the schusim of being married to a kohen gadol or a grush v'chalutz to a kohen hedget. Hilkach osi lafuka. What will happen? Eventually, the kohen gadol or the kohen hedget will give a divorce to their wives. That's exactly what the rabbanon want to happen, because since this is a forbidden marriage, even though the kedushin were taifsin b'chai v'lav, but every moment that they're together, they have relationships together, that's be'isser, and the rabbanon want them to get divorced. So by implementing that the avadim cannot eat either, even though midaraisa, this sheet, the rava sheet, holds that a kinyan's kinyan could eat, even if the kinyan cannot eat, but the rabbanon were the ones who placed this isser here in order that a get will ensue, which is exactly what the rabbanon want. They want to terminate this marriage, and that's why midarabbanon the avdim aluk cannot eat. Rav Ashi agrees that it's an issur rabbanon, but he says that the issur rabbanon is because of a different reason. Gzeira shematach lachar misa. We're afraid that once her husband dies, and the only reason that her avdim are eating midaraisa, according to Rav Ashi, is because a kinyan's kinyan can eat, but once her husband dies and she's no longer connected to her husband, then she loses that schus of her avadim eating, and she may continue to feed them even after the death of her husband. She'll feed them truma, and we don't want that. Therefore, we do not allow it even during the lifetime of her husband. Frag the Gemara, if you're goyzer during the lifetime because of lachar misa elamiata vas yisrael shenisas l'koyin loisachil, which we had in the Mishnah, a bas yisrael who's married to a koyin. And not only does she eat, but the avodim eat as well. Ask the Gemara, loisachel, she should not be able to feed her avodim. And the bottom, Tosfos on the Amid, four lines from the bottom, says, the akuli mil saparach, sheloi toichal v'loi tachel. Not only is the Gemara asking that she shouldn't feed the avodim, but she shouldn't be able to eat herself. Why? Because we should be geyser, mechayim, otu la'achar misa. Why? Gzeir Hashem atachel la'achar misa. If you will let her eat and feed her avodim in the lifetime of her husband, she'll do that after the lifetime of her husband, when she would not be permitted to do so. Ella Amar Rav Ashi, the Gzeir was in a specific case. Ba'amana Kohanis. It's speaking about a Kohanis who used to eat by her father. Then she got married to Yisrael, she stopped eating. Then her husband died, she became an almana, she goes back to Lebei Nasha, she goes back to her father's home, and she is once again able to eat. And now she marries a Kohen Gadol. And she can't eat, but her Avadim could eat Midaraisa. And what's going to happen? The Asiya L'Iruya, she's going to rationalize, and she's going to say, once the Kohen Gadol dies, she's going to say as follows, Mi Kara, Achli B'Trimah Debei Nasha. When my first husband died, I went back to my father's home, and I was able to eat truma in the schus of my father. In Svelei Lahai, I was married to the Kohen Gadol, Achli B'Trimah de Gavroi. When I went back to my father's house, Achli, the slaves, ate the Truma de Beinasha. When I got married to the Kohen Gadol, they again ate. In Svelei Lahai, Achli B'Trimah de Gavroi. They ate in the schus of my husband. Because, as we said, a Kenyan's Kenyan, according to Rav Ashi, Midaraisa can eat. And Vahashta Hadrili Lemilsa Kamaisa. Now that my second husband, the Kohen Gadol, died, so once again they're going to go back, just like they went back by my first husband, they'll go back by my second husband and eat in the schus of my father. Veloyada, and she's not aware, there's a big difference. Then Ikora, the first time around, Loishavi Sola Nafsha Chalola, she had not made herself a Chalola. She was married to a Kayin. She was married to Yisrael. The Yisrael died, and now she went back to her father. She's starting Truma. And there was nothing wrong in her marriage to Yisrael. But Hashta, here where she's married to the Kohen Gadol, Dalmana, Shavi Sola Nafsha Chalola, she made herself a Chalola. And she is Usher to eat. And she's only eating in the schus of her husband, the Kohen Gadol. But that's only while he's alive. But once the Kinyan terminates with his death, then she no longer has a schus because of her husband, and she no longer has the schus because of her father, because since she is a halala and she's usher to eat, memela she can't be machal. So because of that, they made exera by Almana Lekain Gadol that her avdei malug would not be able to eat, so she should not come to feed them lachar misa, and therefore even mechaim she can't. So the Gemara says, you gave a beautiful pshat, but that only fits in one case. Tinach Almana Kohanis. That's only good by an Almana who is a Kohanis. But an Almana Bas Yisrael, where after her first husband died, she never reverted back to her father's home to eat truma. So she's not going to rationalize when her second husband, the Kohen Gadol, dies. My Ikla Member, what are you going to say over there? Why over there by Almana, an Almana who was a Yisraelis? Why over there is there also an Isser for the Avdei Malug to eat truma during the lifetime of the Kohen Gadol? Why can they not eat truma since they're a kinyan of a kinyan which Midraisa can eat? So why would the Rabbanan Geiser? The Gemara answers, Bal Menusa, like Pliga Rabbanan. The Rabbanan didn't make a distinction. Once an Almana, always an Almana. In other words, there's no difference between, they didn't want to make light plug, they didn't want to make a chilek between an Almana who was a Bas Kohen and an Almana who was a Yisra Elis. So it comes out, we have three truths from the Gemara. According to the first approach of the Gemara, Midraisa, a Almana Lekohen Gadol cannot feed her Avadim, her Avdei Malug, anything, because even a Kinyan's Kinyan, the Kinyan has to be able to eat. And since she can't eat, she can't be machal to her Avadim. And according to Rav and Rav Ashi, their Terutzim, in Midraisa, a Kinyan's Kinyan could eat, even if the Kinyan can't. And it's only a Din D'Rabbanan for two Gzeirois, two different Gzeirois of Rava and Rav Ashi. Why the Rabbanan were Masakin that the Avdei Malug should not be able to eat any truma. Begins the Gemara, a new Inyan Itmar we have learned. Hamachnesa Shum Labalo. A woman who brought in something that was evaluated to her husband, and this word Shum is a code word for Nichsei Tsoin Barzel, as we mentioned before. And now our Gemara is speaking about where they are going to get divorced. He, Oymer, she says, Kli Ani Noitalis. You're supposed to give me back the exact value that I brought in with the Nichsei Tsoin Barzel, which were estimated and written into the Ksuba how much their value is. I would like to get those Kalim back. I had a Kali that was worth $100 when I entered the marriage. So now, if the Kali went down in value, I would like to get the Kali. Let's say it's worth $70 now. I'd like to get the Kali back and $30. If it's worth $150, it appreciated. I'd like to get the Kali back. The Kali is very precious to me, as we'll see on Ahmed Bey's. And I'll pay you $50. I owe you $50, but I want to get the Kali back. So who I marry? And he says, the husband, no. Domim ani noisein. I am going to give you only money. When I took the responsibility to give back to you the Kali, I meant the value of the Kali. Yes, I'll give you back $100. But that commitment of responsibility meant that I own the Kali now, and I just have a commitment to give you back money. Frag the Gemara, didn't me. Who is right over here? Rav Yehuda, my Rav Yehuda says, as we turn to Dav Samach Vav Amid Beis, Hadinimoa. The din is with her that she gets back to Kaylee. For Ravami Omer, Ravami says, Hadinimoa, the din is with him that he pays her money. And now the Gemara explains the reasons. Rav Yehuda, Omar, Hadinimoa, the din is with her, Mishum, Shavach Beis, Aviyah, Didohavi. As the Nemuki Yosef explains, that if she will get back to Kali, so she will be able to find another shidduch easier, because she'll be bringing in precious kalim. The lashon of the Nemuki Yosef, v'yia l'chaver l'seferes l'avia shenasna lo kalim chashuvim ka'ela, it'll be very chashuv that she is bringing in her heirloom, her possessions from her very chashuv, beautiful possessions from her father's house, and this will attract her to her potential second husband more than if she brings in money. And that's what the Gemara means with Shevach Beis Aviyah Didohavi. the value of her father's house belongs to her, so she should get back her kelim. Rav Ami says, no, Hadini Moy, he's right, that all he has to do is pay money and he can keep the kelim. Why? Kivin Domer Mar. Since we learned in our Mishnah, on Amud Aleph, in Mesu, Mesu Loy, that if the Avadim died, or as we saw from the Rif, they depreciated in value, he takes the loss. He was Mekabel Achrayus to take the loss. Vimli Hoysira, if they appreciated in value, Hoysira Loy, he gets the profit. So Hoyel V'chayv Bachrayus, and since he accepted this responsibility upon himself, therefore it's considered his. And since it's considered his, Yoichlu, the Avadim can eat. And the Rosh here has a girsa, Bershusa Kaimai Ukidide Dami. They are in his rishus, and they are as if they belong to him. Once he's Makabal Achrayus to return exactly the amount of money that she brought into the marriage by Nisit Sain Barzel, then the property is considered his. And that's in fact why the Avadim can eat. Amar Rav Safra, said Rav Safra to Rav Ami, Meek Tani Vein Shaloi. The Mishnah doesn't say that they, because of this arrangement of Nisit Sain Barzel, of his being Mekabel Achrayus, that the Nechasim belong to him. It says in the Mishnah, Hoyel V'chayv Barchiyusin Tani, since he is obligated in Achrayus, but that doesn't mean it's his. It's still, he's obligated by Achrayus. That's still enough that, as the Ritva explains, that it could be called Kinyan Kaspoi. The Kabbalah Achrayus, accepting the responsibility upon himself, makes it that it's Kinyan Kaspoi. Memela, they could be included in that pasuk which allows those Kinyanim to eat Truma, but the actual Chayfetz itself belongs still to the wife. That's not a stira. They could still eat Truma, but he has to give back the Nichsei Tzoyim Barzel, the Kalim, to the wife. Frank the Gemara, is that so? That just by being Mekabel Achrayus, you can already be Machal Truma? V'chol heichu l'chayv b'achrayus and achli b'truma? I'll show you a Mishnah in Trumas that says not like that. V'atanan, we learned in a Mishnah, Yisrael shesachar por mikoyen. A Yisrael that rented a por from a koyen, and Tosfos here. Three lines before it gets wide, Divrei Maschil de Mechayev Gnev Aveda says, Kan Mashma de Hilchasa Keman de Omer de Soicher Kenoisa Socher Dami. There's a Machloikis above Metzia, whether a Soicher, someone who rents an animal, has a din of a Shomer Socher or a Shomer Chinam. Our Gemara is going to go that he has a din of a Shomer Socher, and therefore he's Chayev Gnev Aveda. If it gets stolen or lost, he's responsible for it. So Yisroel shall socher par mikoyim, and he has the responsibility of a shomer socher to pay back if it's lost or stolen. Harezeh yachilenu kashine truma. So he can feed the animal that he rented from the koyin. Kashine truma are vetch. It's a kind of food of truma. As the top Tosfos explains, that karshine truma are meichel behema. Because if they were meichel adam, you wouldn't be allowed to feed it to an animal because you would be mafsid truma, and a person has a responsibility to be shomer truma, that it not does not become destroyed. And by giving it to an animal, if it's meichel adam, it's considered that you're being mafsid truma. So it is meichel behema. On the other hand, it's possible to eat these karshine truma, says Tosfos, because if it's never a food for a person, then it would not be chayv and truma. So it's primarily for a behema, but it could be eaten by a person, and therefore it's chayv and truma, and yet you could feed it to the animal. And here's where the Tosfos Yishanim says that an animal that belongs to a koyin is included in the pasuk of Kinyan Kaspoi. It's included in what the pasuk says, V'koyin ki'ikna nefesh. He brings rise the Tayshanim that a behemoth is called a nefesh also, and therefore, not only a wife, and not only an evakanani, but a behemoth can be fed truma if the behemoth belongs to the koyin. So the reason over here why the Yisrael is able to feed Karshine Truma to the animal is because it's considered the Koyin's animal, and therefore it could be fed Karshine Truma. What happens if Koyin, Shesach HaPor Yisrael, a Koyin who rented a par from the Yisrael, Afal Pishem even though he has an obligation to give food. And Rashi over here says, second line of Rashi, v'hasoicher chayiv b'achriyusa im nignevay nevda. A soicher is chayiv, as we mentioned from Tosfos, he's like a shomer socher, he's chayiv in gneva veda. So it seems that Rashi learns that although the Gemara mentions mezoinus, but as we saw from Amud Aleph, the fact that a kohen by nichsei melug has to pay for mezoinus is not enough of a reason for an almana l'kohen gadol's avdei melug to eat truma. Because just because he has a chiv mezoinus, the rabbanim were misakin, he has to feed the avdei melug, because they might run away if they're not fed, they might get weak, but that itself is not enough to be considered a kohen's property. So although the Gemara here says the mezoinus is on the kohen, the Gemara actually means more than the mezoinus, the way Rashi learns it. The Gemara means because he has a chiv of gneva v'aveda, even though he has all this responsibility on him. Besides mezoinus, he has gneva v'aveda as well. Lo yachilenu kashinei truma. The kohen cannot feed it kashinei truma. Why? Because it belongs to the Yisrael. So what do we, this is what the Gemara is asking. What do we see from this, from here? We see, this is the Gemara's kasha. We see that even someone who has a chrayus of gneva v'aveda, but still the animal is not considered his. It's considered the Yisrael's. In the first case, when it's the Yisrael who has the chiyuv of mezoinus and the chiyuv of gneva v'aveda, but after all, it belongs to the kohen. If it belongs to the kohen, you could feed a kashya truma. Here in the second case, even though the kohen has a chiyuv mezoinus and he has a chrayus gneva v'aveda, but yet it's not his. It belongs to the Yisrael. Therefore, the kohen cannot feed it kashinei truma. So we see that someone who has a achrayis, it's still not considered his. And if in our Mishnah we learned that by nichsei tzayin barzel, it is considered his, and he could feed truma, l'chayra, this is a very beautiful raya to Ravami, that adin imoy. The din by nichsei tzayin barzel, a raya from the Mishnah, is that by nichsei tzayin barzel, they can eat truma because he was mekabel achrayis. Not only that he was mekabel achrayis, it's considered his. Because Gemara is saying, kol hecha dechayiv b'achriyos and achli b'truma, we see that chiyuv achrayis is not enough to eat truma. So the only reason why in our Mishnah they do eat truma is because it's not just chiyuv achrayis, it's actually considered his property. So it's still a good right to Ravami. V'tizbara, the Gemara says, explain to me. Nehein nami de machayiv b'gnei v'aveda. You're right. By a soicher, he's like a shomer socher, he's chayiv b'gnei v'aveda. But by insel, is he chayiv in an oinus? No. B'kach asher, if he got weak, is he chayiv? No. B'nifches tamed, lost its value, mi machayiv, is he chayiv? In all these three cases, the answer is no. So even though he's chayiv b'gnei v'aveda, that's only a partial kabbalas achrayis. We're not talking about a partial. By nichsei tzayin barzel, he is chayiv for oinus. He is chayiv for weakening. He is chayiv for nifchas tameh. That's what we're speaking about. So again, the Gemara is trying to shlug up the raya that Ravami's bringing. It's no raya from our Mishnah that it belongs to him. In our Mishnah, it's speaking about they can eat truma because kabbalas achrayis is enough for them to eat truma. It really belongs to the woman, like Rabbi Yehuda said. Why did they eat in the Mishnah Truma? Because they were mekabel a full achrayus. You're bringing me a raya from Gnei V'aveda that they can't eat Truma, the kohen can't feed them Truma. That's because he wasn't mekabel a total achrayus of oinus, of kichasha, of nifchas tameah. But in our Mishnah where he was mekabel a complete achrayus, even by oinus, even by kichasha, even by nifchas tameah, that's enough to mechayiv to eat Truma. But ain't a chanami, it doesn't belong to him. You have no raya that it belongs to him. Holoi dami, if you want to compare it to anything, it's doima to the seifa of that Mishnah in Truma is. Ela the seifa. Yisrael shesham paramikoyin. A Yisrael that made a pour from the koyin, he estimated the value, which is a code word for kabbalas achrayis. Rashi over here says it's speaking about a case where he rented it from the koyin. Tosfos doesn't like that because that would be a case of ribbis, because it means he's accepting full achrayus to give back the exact value of the para to the kayin. At the same time, he's paying rent. So it's like once he accepts upon himself the achrayus to pay back the full value, he has a monetary chayv, a loan, which he owes to the kayin. And at the time that he has the loan of money that he has to eventually give back to the kayin, he at the same time is paying schiris, rent. So that's a form of ribbis, which the Gemara of Matzias says would be prohibited. Therefore, Taisa says you have to learn, speaking about he borrowed, he was a shayil, he estimated the full value, he borrowed it, and he said, I'm going to pay you back the full value. So there's no question of ribbis. What's the din legabi truma? Yisrael shesham par mikayin. He took this at full value, that he's going to return this part to the kayin. Lo yachilena kashina truma. He is not allowed to feed it the vetch of truma. Avol kayin shesham par Yisrael, but a kayin who took the full value of the par from the Yisrael, yachilenu kashina truma. So now it's very good, because in the case of Yisrael, who took the full value, it now belongs to the Yisrael, even though he's going to have to give back the exact por at the end. But while he has it, it's considered the Yisrael's. Therefore, he cannot give it truma. On the other hand, the kayin, even though he's going to have to give back the full pora to the Yisrael, but while he has it, it's considered the kayin's. So therefore, he could be machal truma, yachalena kashinei truma. So therefore, the Gemara is coming out that Rabbi Yehuda tells Rav Ami that you have no raya from our Mishnah by Nichsei Tzoyim Barzel that it belongs to the husband, and that's why he eats, he's machal truma to the avodim. It could be he has to give back the avodim, he has to give back the kalim to the isha. The only reason he's machal truma is because he was mekabel a full achrayis. When you're mekabel a full achrayis, even though you have to give back the actual thing at the end, but while you're mekabel the full achrayis, it's considered yours legabi truma, and that's why he could feed truma. So at the end, Gemara is trying to schlug up the raya of Rav Ami from our Mishnah. But at the end of this whole sugya, we have a machlaikas. Rav Yehuda says hadin ima, and Rav Ami says hadin Imoi. Continues the Gemara, Yosef, Rabba, Rav Yosef, Bishuli, Pirkei, Rav Nachman, Rabban, Rav Yosef, at the end of the shir of Rav Nachman, as Rashi explains when he finished his drasha, the Yasvikam, they were sitting, and they said the following. It's interesting that Rav Yaakov Emden points out that from our Gemara, it would seem that during the shir, they were standing. They wouldn't sit in front of their Rebbe during the shir, and also they did not have the audacity to interrupt the shir of Rav Nachman and to discuss what the shir was about, but rather, after the conclusion of the shir on this inyan, then Rabbi Rav Yosef sat down, and they said the following.
Tani Kava said to Rav Yehuda, Tani Kava said to Rav Ami, we learned like Rav Yehuda that adin imoi, and we learned like Rav Ami that adin imoi. Tani, Kava say to Rav Ami, first we'll bring a ride to Rav Ami. We learned Avdei Tzoyim Barzel, in the case of Avdei Tzoyim Barzel, Yoytzim Hashem V'ayin, that Le'ish, if the man knocked out their tooth or eye, so since he's considered the owner while the marriage is going on, he's the owner of the Avdei Tzoyim Barzel, Memela, they will go out with Shem V'ayin as an Eved Kanani who goes out with Shem V'ayin. Avaloi Leisha. But if the woman knocked out his tooth or eye, she's not considered the owner while this Nichsei Tzoyim Barzel arrangement is in place. She's not considered an owner, and therefore she does not go out. So Lechari, this is a raya to Rav Ami Hadin Imoi, that it belongs to him, and all he has to give back is money. Tani Kava say to Rav Yehuda. We learned a braisa like Rav Yehuda. Hamachnes is Shum Labalo. If a woman brought in shum, which we have explained is a code word for Nichsei Tzoyim Barzel, they were estimated, evaluated, and written into the ksuba that he's mekabel achrayis. Imratza baal limchor. What happens if the husband wants to sell them in the lifetime of his wife? Lo yimchor. He's not allowed to sell them. Why? Because she has a schus at the end to get these kalim or to get these avadim back, and therefore the husband has no right to sell them because she has a schus in it. And not only in this case, even if he added, as we saw in the Rashi at the beginning, the first Rashi on Samach Vav Amud Aleph, the first Rashi of our Perek, that he is Moisif, a present into the Ksuba. And then he writes, "V'hu Moisif Kenegd," and as Rashi says, "V'koisif Sach Hakol Kibul Lav Poni Kavkach." Whatever his wife brought in as Nichsei Tzoyim Barzel, whatever he's adding as a present, that has the same Achrayus of Nichsei Tzoyim Barzel, even if these Kalim or Avodim he brought into the marriage and gave it over to his wife as a present. Afilo Hichnis Lo Shum Mishaloi Im Ratzah Balimcha Lo Yimcha. He's not allowed to, because after all, once he gave it as a present, it belongs to her, and therefore he is not allowed to sell them. He has to give it, the actual chayfetz, back to his wife when the marriage terminates. What happens if Machu Shneim? They both sold it. And why did they sell it? Leparnasa, as Rashi says, Urchid Emelsa, that's the usual case. When somebody sells possessions, it's because he needs food, he needs shelter, and that's why he is selling it. And not only did one sold it, both sold it. Now Rashi says Machu Shneim means oize oize, either the husband or the wife. Other Rishonim say that it means both the husband and the wife. The wife signed on it as well. The Rashba and the Ritva learn that even if the wife signed on it, she can say, "I really didn't want to sell it. I was only doing it for shalom bayis. I wanted to do a nachas ruach to my husband, and therefore I really didn't mean it." So the Gemara says, Machru Shneim, if they both, even if, according to those Rishonim, they both sold it, and why did they sell it? Leparnasa, or for any other reason, Zehoya Meis Lefnei Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Such a story happened in front of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Va'omer, and he said, Haba Moitz Mi'al Lekuchis, the husband can take it out from the Lekuchis. And Rashi says that certainly if he sold it without the knowledge of his wife, and then he died or he divorced her, that she could take it out from the Lekuchais. But even if she died and he survived her, he can go to the very Lekuchais that he sold it, and he could say, as Taisvis says, three lines from the bottom of the Amid, Nirik appears for Benachananel, De Eina Mechakayim Klal, Afilu Sha'achas, the Tikkun Rabban, and Shalaita Isha, Tzrich Latroyach, according to Rabbeinu Chananel, he says that Rashi learns differently. He has questions on Rashi, but to make the sugya simple, let's learn like Rabbeinu Chananel. That's not the pshat that the mechira was chal and then they can stop the mechira, but rather Rabbeinu Chananel learns there was no mechira to begin with. And that's why the Baal, after the death of his wife, can tell the Lekuchais, what I sold you was not a mechira. Memela, I can be moitzim el Lekuchais. So we see from this brisa, like Rabbi Yehuda, that a din imah, that what, that she gets back the actual thing. And therefore, even if it was sold, the mechira is not a mechira, it belongs to her. Amar Rav Nachman, halachic Rabbi Yehuda, halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that a din imah. Amar le Rav le Rav Nachman, vatanya, we learned in a braisa, kavasei to Ravami, we learned a raya to Ravami, as the Aruch HaShulchan explains. Although we have your back and forth different brises, one indicates like Rav Yehuda, one like Rav Ami. What Rav was meant to ask is, since there is a brice like Rav Ami, it remains a suffix, and if it remains a suffix, it should remain by the muchsik. Why do you paskin adinimo, and we take it from the husband and we give it to the wife? We should say that misuffik, since there are proofs back and forth either way, that it should remain with the husband who's a muchsik on it. So he answered Rav Nachman, Afagav the Sanya Kavasei, even though there is a brisa like him. But the Rav Ami Mistabra Taima, Afagav the Sanya Kavasei, the Rav Ami, even though we learned a brisa like Rav Ami as well, but Mistabra Taima, the Rav Yehuda, Mishum Shrach Besavia, like we said this swore before, that it's a covet for her to bring the Nechasim of her father into her potential second marriage. This will attract her to her second zivug, and therefore his swore is mistavra that she gets back the actual thing. If it's worth less, the husband has to add till its original value. If it's worth more, the wife will have to repay the husband what it's worth extra. But she gets the kalim, or she gets the avodah. Gemara says a story. He hits, there was this woman, the Aila Leila Gavra, she brought to her husband, Itzdala de Milsa, a cloak of fine wool, Biksubasa, as part of her dowry. And it was written into the Ksuvah. It's Nichsei Tzoyim Barzel. Shachiv, the husband died. Shachlu Yasmid Yisraimim took the cloak. Uparsu Amisna. And they spread it over the mace. Which means, Rashi says, they made the Tachrichim. It doesn't just mean they spread it. Because the Gemara is going to go into here the Inyan that Tachrichim are Asur Banah. If it was just spread on top of the mace, it would not get the din of a Surei Hanah. It means it was made as a Tachrichim, a shroud for the mace. Amar Rava, Rava said, Kanya Misna, the mace was Kaina. A mace can never be Kaina anything. It means, as Rashi explains, it's Asur Banah. How do we know Tachrichim are Asur Banah? We learn out Xer Shava from Miriam and Egla Rufa. It says by Miriam Vatomer Sham, Miriam Vatikover Sham, and by Egla Rufa, which is Asur Banah, once the head of the Egla Rufa is decapitated, the body of the Egla Rufa is Asur Banah, and it says there, V'orfu Sham, Esa Egla Banachal. So we learn out Xer Shava, the Sham Sham, just like by Egla Rufa, it's Asur Banah, Huadin, the Tachrichim of a mace are Asur Banah as well. So the mace was coined, it means it was Asur Banah, Amalei Nanoi. Berater Rabbi Yosef, Berater Rav L'Rav Kahana. How could you say that the mace made these tachrichim now Asur Banah? V'Amar Rav, Amar Rav Nachman, Halacha Rav Yehuda, Halacha Zayg Rav Yehuda, which means Hadin Ima, that she is supposed to get back the Nichsei Tzoyin Barzel. She doesn't get money, she gets the actual keli. So it's her keli after the husband died. It's not the assignments, it belongs to the wife. So they made her cloak that belongs to her as a shroud, which they were not allowed to do. It doesn't belong to them. They took something that doesn't belong to them and made it as a shroud. So why does it become Asur Banah? She should be able to say, it's mine, and it should not be the maces that makes it Asur Banah. Amar Lehi responded, me loy maida Rabbi Yehuda, is Rabbi Yehuda not maida, the mechusar gevayna. Even if we say adin ima, but it means she has a shibud on it. There is a lien on the property. She has a claim. She can go to Bezdin and say, I want to get this back. But it's not, she doesn't have possession over it. It's just a shibbut. The kiv and the mechusar gevayna. And since it's only, it's missing a collection, it was at this point when the yesoyimim did their act of cover, of making a shroud for the mace, it was not yet collected back by the wife. Bershusei koi, it's in the reshus of the mace. And as we're going to see in tomorrow's sugya, this is based on the concept of Hegdish and Chometz and Shichur, Rava Lishitase, that Hegdish, if you dedicated it, in our case, to the mace, and they jumped the gun, they preempted the wife from collecting it in Bezdin. They went ahead and took the cloak and covered and made a shroud for the mace, so their act is mitzi from the shibud that the cloak was supposed to go back to the wife. Exactly how this works, we will see Be'ezus Hashem in tomorrow's sugya.